I've mentioned to you that there's a book written by Martin Luther. It's more of a booklet, a treatise. 400 years ago, 500 years ago, in which Martin Luther's barber, keep in mind a barber back then was not just a guy that cut your hair, he was also the guy that you went to for minor injuries like, you know, broken fingers and, you know, deep wound cuts, something that didn't require a surgeon. So he was kind of like your emergency care facility that we have today, as well as your hygienist and your hairstylist. Anyway, so his barber asks Martin Luther one day, how should I pray? And Martin Luther writes this treatise on prayer. And in it, what he suggests the man do is that he start with Scripture, but that he approach the Scripture, each piece of the Scripture, from four different ways. That when you read the Scripture, you ask yourself the first question, what is it I am to learn from this? And in your prayer, pray, God, please teach me this instruction, this information. And then secondly, you're to ask yourself, what is it that I'm supposed to do in light of what this Scripture teaches me? What am I not doing that I need to repent of? And what is my requirement that I should be doing? How should I change in light of what I have learned? The third then is, based on that, what should I be bringing, what prayers or petitions should I bring to God? And then last, if this Scripture is teaching me something, what does it also tell me about heaven? Or what does it tell me about God's provision in Christ? That perfection that is mine positionally now and will be mine by possession in heaven, what am I to learn about that? And how should I praise and offer thanksgiving to God in light of my eternal destiny? So Martin Luther suggests several passages of Scripture. He suggests the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments. So we've been going through the Ten Commandments using Martin Luther's paradigm, and that's what we're going to do this morning. We're on the Eighth Commandment, you will not steal. This is Exodus 20, verse 15. So as we look at this and think about this commandment, what's involved with it? First of all, what does it tell us? What does it teach us? Well, first of all, it tells us that God is the one who can tell us not to steal. Not only does He have the right to tell us that because He's God, but because He's creator of everything. Everything you own ultimately traces itself back to God's creating it. You did not create your car out of nothing. Okay? You didn't create your house out of nothing. You never stood up one day and said, let there be money, and poof, there is money. You don't have that power to create ex nihilo. God does. In 6 days He made heaven and earth, and everything that exists comes about because of God as our creator. But what God did as the ultimate owner of everything is He created human beings. And He made human beings, particularly Adam, if I can put it this way, the sub-owner of everything. That we are to go out and possess and take dominion and rule over the earth. We are to take what's there and use it for our good and particularly for the good of everyone around us and for the worship of God. So that God, being the owner of everything, says to us, I give you, if you will, sub-ownership of what you possess. By God's decree, by God's direction, you own the things that are yours. It is your house. It is your car. It is your money. It is your whatever the case may be. Under the sovereignty of God. You do not have an autonomous right to do with it whatever you please. You do have the right to do with it whatever you please under the authority and command and direction of God. I do not have the right to use my money for sinful purposes. But as long as I am using my money to worship God, glorify God, and to provide for my family and for the needs of others, I have a certain freedom as to what I can do with that money. So there's a sub-ownership that's involved, but that sub-ownership comes from God. So that each individual is the owner of his or her private property as a mandate from God. Private property ownership is rooted in God's character. Now we need to relearn that as a nation and as a people. The Eighth Commandment teaches us that it is wrong. It is a violation of God's character, a violation of God's law, to treat property as if it did not belong to its owner. And so when the government or the mob or whoever steals and takes away by whatever means what rightfully belongs to you, it's a violation of the Eighth Commandment. Now, I know that has a lot of political ramifications, but there are spiritual ramifications as well. So, what are we to do? Well, as servants of God, we are obligated to do with our property as God commands us to do. For our families, we are to use our wealth for our families and not for ourselves. And I have in there, in parentheses, budget. You know what a budget is? It's a covenant promise that the husband and wife make to each other that I will not take more than what is mine, my fair share. That my interests are primarily for the family, not for me. That I'm not just going to go out and spend, can I say the word willy-nilly? Just go out and spend uncontrollably whatever I want without thought to how it affects the family. Because yes, it's my money, but it's our money, and God is the one who gave it to me, and I must use it as He tells me. A man who does not provide for his own is worse than an infidel and has denied the faith. That's what Paul says in his letter to Timothy. As servants of God, we are obligated to do with our property as God commands, and that means we are to use it for our church, not our extravagance, to support worship. We are to use it as God gives the ability for others in need, so that as God prospers us, when especially a brother or sister in Christ has need, we meet that need. We use, I should have thrown in here under family, we use it for our parents as our parents grow older, so that we honor our parents and take care of them as well. It also means that we look at property as a temporary thing, and we place our primary treasure in heaven. Do not lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but rather lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. So what are we to pray and what are we to petition God for? One, that God would provide our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Everything that exists comes from God. We are not to trust the government to provide our daily bread. We don't even ultimately trust ourselves or our employers. In the end, our ultimate trust is in God who gives all things. We should pray for our nation, that again we would have a proper view of what it means to be under God's laws and God's morality, and that includes private property. And then I think we should be praying to God for gratitude for how He has blessed our church. The gentlemen who have kept track of our finances and have given us reports have showed that God has blessed our church greatly financially. And we should not be ungrateful. We should not just gloss that over and pretend that it didn't exist. God has been very, very good to us as a church. What about our eternal destiny and our thanksgiving? Well, one, we owe praise to God that He is not selfish or greedy. Jesus Christ gave up the glories of heaven, and though being in the form of God and did not consider it theft to say that He was equal with God, yet He gave up the glories of heaven and became as a servant and humbled Himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He gave up everything to save you. God is a beneficent, generous, giving God. Not only in our salvation, but in the glories of heaven. We should praise God that when God reveals the eternal day, the new Jerusalem that comes out for the new heavens and the new earth is not going to be miserly. It's going to be glorious. And the wealth and the beauty and the majesty of God will be on full display for all eternity. And finally, you can't take it with you, but God will give it to you. And I'm not talking about cars or golf or ladies, I don't know. What do you want in heaven? Cookery, quilting machines? I don't know. I have no idea. No? Okay, whatever. But what God does give is rewards. I have no idea what that's going to be like exactly, other than to say that God will in some way or form recognize what we have done. We don't deserve it. We can't deserve it. But graciously, He will have these eternal recognitions for when we have obeyed Him, for when we have worshiped Him. And these things will be eternal rewards for us in heaven, and they will not be skimpy. They will not be miserly. He will graciously and gloriously reward us for all eternity. So, this is what it means. Encapsulated in this idea of not stealing is the idea that God has the authority to tell us, "This is mine, I give it to you. Use it for my glory. Use it for the good of others. Use it for my worship. Use it wisely." And then in turn, thank God for His generosity in giving us His Son and eternal salvation and eternal glory. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. If you will, I'm going to ask each of us, not each of us, but each who pray, to pray just one thing from this list that has caught your attention, something that the Spirit has used the Word to speak to you about this morning, so that each prayer is just a minute long. The idea being that all of us should come together and pray.